She worried herself to sleep every night. Nothing her husband could do to calm her. She worried and worried and worried that someday they were going to be robbed. Sure enough, in the middle of the night, she woke her husband and said, "Honey, get up. I'm hearing noises downstairs." He went downstairs and he came face to face with a burglar. And he said, "Hello, I am very glad to see you. I would like for you to come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting 10 years to meet you." A comedian, I'm not. But for most of my life, I have lived with the deception that I am not a worrywart. I am just a very vigilant concern wart. Well, you've not heard of one. Well, here I am. Yes, I know we all know what a worrywart is. In fact, the dictionary described that person as someone who worries unduly. And I can safely tell you that I've taken unduly to new heights. I have, for a very long time, passed over this time-consuming aspect of my life by convincing myself that I'm just concerned. I'm thoughtful about the future. I'm just getting mentally prepared for something that could possibly happen. I had never considered that these periods of imaginary future happenings could wedge cracks in my foundation of faith, hope, and trust in the one who holds my present and my future in the palm of his hand. Well, my worries are nothing unusual. They truly are of the everyday variety kind. And they come and visit me every single day, and they'll stay with me patiently, as long as I want them. And the reason that I take them on alone is that I don't want to concern the creator of the universe with my silly, simple, secret uncertainties. Yes, you know these well, possibly. I do. What if this is going to happen? What if that's going to happen? What do I do? I do know them well. There is no question that we cannot take many of the difficulties that come into our lives away. But my thoughts today are how we see them and the importance we allow them to play in our everyday life. These are future somethings that can be a big deal and change our lives, or they can vanish into thin air and we go on. We know we must take the troubles of today, yet if we pile on the worries of tomorrow, what are we left with? Well, we're left with anxieties and frustrations that will not allow us the energy or the patience to simply make those immediate decisions in a godly manner. And then we stop and wonder, what's going wrong with today? A saying, but not mine. Worry empties a day of its strength, not of its trouble. Worry empties today of its strength, but you still got the trouble. Well, if this all reminds you of the lesson we're going to be discussing next week, which I'm just going to touch on briefly, if this reminds you of Matthew 6:34, you're right. "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. And oh, how true, if we could only believe this and do God's will today and trust God's promise for tomorrow and believe Hebrews 13:5, which says, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That promise stands true today, and it stands true for every tomorrow He's going to give you. Yet the most famous in that passage in Matthew 6 comes to us in the 25th verse. And we find something else that God does not want us to be anxious about. Do not worry about your life or about your body. This contains to what we eat, drink, and unfortunately, what we wear. And God says it is superficial, and we must move on. And it hurts when Jesus says in this passage to those and to me, O ye of little faith. It hurts. It's true. Because the anxieties of life can crowd God out. The worldly needs or wants in life must truly be regulated to their secondary importance, so that verse 33, Jesus works up to this, can truly be the focus of this passage. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. This means to me that my worries and anxieties and fears that want to crowd into my mind and take over my life must be pushed out. If I want to give God the glory, and if I want the hope and faith and trust in Him and in Him alone, what ifs have conned me and possibly you and actually thinking that we're preparing for something to come. It's a deceit, if you will, of ourselves in thinking that worry is actually going to help me solve my problems. Before this lesson, I hadn't really considered the difference between worry and concern. And in the dictionary, you turn to it, and they say, they're the same. And the world says the same also. Interchangeable. But in the scripture, they're different. Worry drives you to despair. Concern drives you to thoughtful action. I love some of the definition, and I'll be quick about it, about worry. A divided mind. Oh, yes. A distraction, if you will. But worry is inward, and it's lonely, and it's self-absorbing. Let's get on a plane. I don't like planes. I don't like to be off the ground. So I'm holding on to my seat, and it's sunny, and it's nice, and it's bright, and here we go. And sure enough, every time I get on an airplane, the first thing they do when they get off the ground is go into a group of clouds. I can't see in front of me. I can't see beside me. I'm nervous. And the clouds are thick and billowing, and I sure hope the pilot knows where he's going, because I don't. That's worry. You're in clouds, and you don't have any visibility. You don't have any spiritual visibility. We'll get back to the plane ride later. No visibility. We're on a proverbial gerbil wheel, and we're going with worry as fast as we can go, and we're not getting anywhere. We're working at it. Nothing's happening. Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a deep channel through which all other thoughts flow through. Well, we turn to James 1, and we find out that we're not supposed to be wavering, and we're not supposed to be doubting. And how come I'm wavering, and how come I'm doubting? Those things that come to my mind are stimulated by worry. And I'm tossed by the winds that come and push against me. And it puts me in a position that I'm now headed, you're now headed, in no real spiritual direction. And I'm called in verse 8, if I'm in this mindset, I'm called double-minded and unstable in my ways. God lets me have it. Worry has raised my anchor of my spiritual ship so that I'm now tossed here and there. And in the end, if I continue this mindset, God says, I will give you nothing. Now to the positive side of this concern. It is looking outward and upward. It's the right type of caring for others and for the situations that come. It's constructive, it's healthy, and promotes spiritual growth. It's Paul not being worried about the churches. He's concerned for them. It's Job not being worried about his children. It's being concerned for them because in those two situations, they can do something about it. Job offered sacrifices. And Paul, he sent letters, he sent people, he went himself, things to uplift, things to help with those concerns. It's approaching difficulties with an attitude of spiritual optimism. We're going to look really quickly at two portraits of two men. One portrait is a man that worried and ended up with fear. The next portrait is going to be of a man that ended up with worry and ended up with concern and ended up where he was supposed to be in the end. The first one's found in First, and you don't need to turn there, 1 Samuel 13. We know the story well. King Saul, he waited his 7 days, right? Where's Samuel? My men are leaving me, and I got Philistines gathering over the hill, and they're going to attack me. And I can only imagine that worry turned to anxiety. Anxiety turned to fear. And what did he do? He made a terrible decision in his life. He did something that he didn't have the right to do, and God was displeased with him. He let the what ifs get so big in his life, it blinded him from doing the right thing. Now I want to look at, if you have your Bibles open, I want to look at a man that found himself in a worried position in Psalms 55 and what transpired from start to finish here. A beautiful psalm. I have to admit that when I was looking at this, I had turned to, and we're going to get to this, 1 Peter 5:7, and it says, if you want another scripture dealing with 1 Peter 5:7, go back to what you find in your bulletin, the 22nd verse of Psalms 55. I read the 22nd verse and thought, oh, that's neat. And then found out from someone, hey, why don't you read the rest of the scripture? It's wonderful to look at verses, but looking at the context around it is also wonderful. Verse 2. Attend to me and answer me. I am restless in my complaint and I moan because the noise of the enemies, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they drop trouble upon me and in anger they bear a grudge against me. We've got some negative thoughts. We've got the worst could happen. We really have David saying to some extent, woe is me. And then in verse 4, he said, my heart is in anguish within me. The terrors of death have fallen upon me. And I think we take it then to anxiety. And if anxiety goes for very long with you, and it does sometimes with me, it turns into obsession. We're looking inward and we're thinking about it. Not some of the time. We're thinking about it all the time. And then in verse 5, fear and trembling come upon me and horror overwhelms me. Fear is simply deciding that nothing's going to turn out right no matter what. Or that we see we really are simply isolated. We're alone. A spiritual darkness that hinders us from seeing the light. And then if we go on down 6 through 8 quickly, it says, and I say, oh, that I had wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away. I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest. One of the easiest aspects of worry is escape. I want to run from them. I want to become Jonah. He decided first to flee, didn't he? Then he decided to float. But he still did not escape God or the task he was sent to do. We don't use this word anymore, but it's fretting. And fretting sets our imagination in motion. And we want to escape what is coming or step aside from what's hovering over us. And then our prayer becomes, God, please, please, just take this away from me. Help me get away from this problem. When God might be saying, stop. I'm in control. Give me your problems and pray for strength to get through this. To fly away, to run away, to leave our problems behind, rather than facing them with God. I know the feeling well. Do you? And the last section of this, verse 16 through 18, David says, but I call to God and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I utter my complaint and moan, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety from the battle that I wage, for many are arrayed against me. David comes through this, and he comes through this trusting in God. Well, I don't know how he did it on his own, but here's a few things that have helped me that I think are applicable for our lesson today. When worry comes, you have to realize you are a worry wart, if you are, and the cycle's got to get broken. These chains of worry are heavy, and you've got to get free of them. So when things come, you've got to decide, am I resolving them or not? And being honest with myself. Is this issue that is bothering me so much, is it consuming my life? Is it getting in the way of my spiritual growth? If so, I need to turn it over to God. And a great verse for this. 1 Peter 5:7. Casting all my cares or anxieties on him, for he cares for me. Not a real good deal for him, if you will, but give him your cares, and he gives back his care for you. Number 2, focus on God's power for us today. Live one day at a time, easier said than done. Handle each worry as it comes. Some will never come, and those that do occur can only be addressed as they present themselves. Real difficulties can be overcome. It's just our imaginary ones that become unconquerable. When the Bible tells us God will never leave us, he will never give us more than we can bear, he takes our needs into account. If we add today's troubles with tomorrow's worries, we very well might not have enough energy or patience for them both. But God has given us all we need for today's concerns, so let's deal with them today. Remember, God's power is greater than ours, so who do you want your troubles to go to? Do not be afraid of tomorrow. God is already there. It is a matter of faith, because faith connects the present to the future in a positive way that frees us to grow spiritually. Worry connects our present to the future in a negative way and constricts our mobility with fear. There's nothing wrong with planning for tomorrow, because it brings concerns that we normally will have. But worrying about tomorrow, that's not any good. Simply making the choice every day to choose faith over fear. And number three, activate ourselves. In Philippians 4:6, it says, don't be anxious about anything. Okay, I'm not supposed to worry about anything? And then it follows it up so beautifully right after that. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Prayer and praise. Pray before, during, and after things happen. Always thank God for getting you through. This will help you keep your priorities in line. There is a difference. Worry is inward. Concern is outward. So, forget about yourself. Look outward. There is lots to do. There's lots of people to help. And we need to get at it. Time spent in worry stagnates us. And it prevents us from doing good and growing spiritually. And lastly, and this means a lot to me, is sometimes you just get to the point where, okay, let's stop and start over. Let's go back. Let's regroup. And my prayer life must be daily. My trust in God must be continuous. And my faith must be steadfast. And if you'll look with me for just a moment, and I believe this is what made David so close to God, the 22nd verse of Psalms 55. Cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. And he finishes that chapter by saying, but I will trust in the Lord. Let's go back to our airplane. One of the greatest feelings, maybe the only great feeling I have getting in an airplane, and maybe you've experienced this. You've been in the clouds longer than you wanted to be, and all of a sudden you burst through the clouds and there is that bright, beautiful sunshine you can see for miles. Are you relieved? I am. The analogy stands true. Set aside worry, and your spiritual visibility will go up tremendously. David said in the 23rd Psalm, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If you will pardon, there are times I look at the 23rd Psalm, and I say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not worry. Psalm 73:28, but for me it is good to be near God, and I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all His works. It is time, from time to time, to realign ourselves and to look at our perspective with God. My last verse, Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Remember the lady that laid awake worrying that her possessions were going to be stolen, that she thought so much of? The robber had already been there and gone, hadn't he? He'd come a long time ago. And he had taken things that were much more valuable than what was sitting in that house, hadn't he? He had robbed her of her peace and her trust. And she didn't even know it. If you wake up in the morning and you find yourself looking at this and the world ahead of you, and all you can see is what up, and you know God's there somewhere, but that's about the size he is, you're going to have a bad day. And you're going to do what I've done for a long, long time. You're going to worry about this and about that and about what's coming. And life is not going to be very good. This is what I need to see. Maybe this is what you need to see too. I need to wake up. I need to go through my day. I need to go to bed at night with him on my mind. That he's going to take care of me. That I need to trust in him. That he's going to be there for me. This is hard for me. And the ifs are going to be there. But I do praise the Lord that I can read things in the scripture and that I can look at the lives I see out here and see the perspective being in the right place. We're going to offer the gospel invitation. If you want your what ifs to change and turn your life over to God, we offer that as we stand and sing.